When my mother visited us for Thanksgiving this year, she arrived with a box for our daughter, Eleanor. And inside was a box of 25 tiny boxes. My mother had decorated each box and placed a tiny trinket inside. Now, for the past week or so, each morning when Eleanor comes downstairs, she rushes over first thing to her Advent calendar, eager to see what her mormor has put inside for her that day. The gifts aren't big, just a couple of stickers or a little balloon. And each morning as I see Eleanor rush greedily over to her box, I try to remind her that Advent is about looking forward to Christmas, about looking forward to the baby Jesus being born. And although Eleanor's understanding of past, present, and future seems somewhat hazy right now, she has started to look forward to Christmas. Pointing at her Advent calendar or the Christmas tree, she proclaims sagely, "For Christmas." Eleanor is looking forward to Christmas, although I'm not really sure if she really understands what she's looking forward to. Anticipation is a theme for all of us in Advent. We all look forward to Christ's birth among us again. We look forward to the joys of Christmas time. But as the church during this season, we do more than just anticipate. We also prepare for Christ's birth and the promised reign of God yet to come among us. And the preparation in Advent is much more than just preparing for Christmas celebrations. We're called in Advent to do far more than simply wrap gifts, put up the tree, or even light candles in the midst of darkness. In Advent, we are invited to look for Christ's coming into our world and examine how we might be a part of God's reign. The words from the prophet Isaiah that we hear today paint a picture of the peaceable kingdom, something often depicted in art. A pastoral scene in which a wolf and a lamb lie down together, and a lion is no threat to other animals because it's suddenly chosen a vegetarian diet. And although this scene looks beautiful on the front of a Christmas card emblazoned with the words, "Peace on Earth," the picture is meant to be much more than just a cliched version of what peace could look like. This picture is meant to evoke the world as it could be under the faithful reign of God. And since we live in a world in which the lands that Jesus walked in Palestine are torn apart by fences and warring people, in a world in which migrant children are detained at our borders, in a world in which 40% of the food grown in this nation is wasted, while empty bellies cry out for sustenance each day, perhaps one of our Advent callings is to take this picture seriously, to consider how our world might be a place where the violent and the vulnerable find safety together, to consider how we might have the trust of a mother who allows her child to play near the home of an enemy. Perhaps it is this vision of God's reign that leads us into our nobler observances of Advent. It is the hope that the world could be different that draws us to acts of service on behalf of others, that motivates us to praise God by creating beauty, that inspires us to give generously to the church and to charities that we believe work to enact God's reign among us. But something that I've noticed in myself is that it's much easier for me to add positive actions into my life, even in this busy time of year, than it is to consider another question. What do I need to stop doing in order to live in hope of God's reign among us? And on this second Sunday in Advent each year, we gather in this place to hear again and again a reminder that looking for the advent of Christ requires something difficult of each of us. It requires us to hear the words of John the Baptist. It requires us to prepare God's way by setting our eyes not only on the hopeful, but also on the troubling. John the Baptist calls us into repentance, the great turning away from the forces of sin and violence and oppression in our world, and to set our eyes upon God's reign, the vision of God enacted in the person of Jesus Christ, who taught us the power of vulnerable love. Putting up decorations and opening the doors of Advent calendars aren't really practices that invite us into repentance. The modern celebration of Christmas seems more likely to cover the brokenness of the world and the brokenness of our own lives with some shiny wrapping paper and put a big red bow on it than to take seriously how we, God's own people, are complicit in putting up barriers to God's vision for this world. John the Baptist invites us into an Advent observance that prepares our hearts, and through our hearts prepares the world for Christ's coming. It promises God's justice, but God's justice requires judgment. Judgment between those things that enhance God's reign in our world and those things that stand in God's way. And the reality is that while each of us is a child of God, a part of God's work of mercy in this world, that each of us is also a sinner, a part of the reason that the world is not as God desires it to be. And so one of the practices of Advent is self-judgment, turning away from our sin and setting our faces again on God's will. John the Baptist invites us to repent. Even now the axe is lying at the root of the tree, he teaches. And although I've often heard this phrase as a threat, bear fruit or God will cut you down, I think it's actually more of an invitation. An invitation to each of us to examine the wheat and the chaff of our own lives and to pick up the axe and cut down the trunks and the branches of complacency and complicity to sin in our lives. And as we hear from the prophet Isaiah, stumps are places of potential growth in God's eyes. Stumps are places where new shoots of mercy and justice can grow and bear fruit. In the American observance of Advent and Christmas, it can be nearly impossible to find the time, to find the space, to find the companionship, to observe the troubling parts of our own lives or the troubling parts of the world. But hope for God's reign among us, a hope passed down from generation to generation and begun in the person of Jesus Christ, calls us to notice again the ways we are not as we ought to be. To notice again the ways that the world is not as it ought to be. And to turn to God again, confident in God's judgment, and also in God's mercy, anticipating again the advent of Christ, the one who takes away the sin of the world, who reconciles us to God, and who fulfills God's promises. So in the midst of the beauty, the joy, the anticipation of Advent, May God give you also the courage to examine your hearts, to turn toward God, and to prepare for God's reign among us again. Amen.